You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
This edition of It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, your partner for global wealth creation. Welcome to It's My Money. It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, South Africa's multi-award-winning boutique wealth manager. With me is founder member of Brenthurst Wealth, and that's Magnus Haystack. And I noticed an article that was published on a website which says the following: Magnus Haystack sees hope for SA's economic revival and calls for bold tax reforms. Now, Magnus, when I saw this, welcome, by the way, when I saw this, I thought, how can you have bold tax reforms when you need more taxes in South Africa to pay for the ever-increasing debt in the country? What was your thinking?
Well, you know, the current taxation system, I think, is extracting as much tax as it possibly can based on the economic growth that we've been experiencing, and they've literally taxed everything that can be taxed. By increasing the current taxes, you know, you have the classical Laffer curve problem. You'll actually get back less if you start pushing the entrepreneurs and the high-flying earners out of the economy, and they will just move their money and their businesses elsewhere. So, you know, just increasing taxes is not going to attract more taxes. You know, that's not going to work. So Africa will have to be a bit more creative on that. And in fact, you know, depending, you know, where you come from, by cutting taxes perhaps in certain areas and stimulating new sources of revenue, you might just attract a lot of tax. And I was referring specifically to countries all around the world like Portugal, Spain, Cyprus, Malta, Mauritius, Seychelles, etc., that have opened their doors to wealthy people to come up and set up structures, set up homes and businesses. And that is working, and that has brought a lot of money into those respective economies. I mean, for instance, in Mauritius,
yeah,
the official tally now is about 6,000 wealthy people have set up homes and taken residency in Mauritius. Now, if you multiply that with, let's say, 4 or 5 people per household, the economic activity that it stimulates, houses, cars, services, restaurants, etc., that is becoming a fairly large number for a small country like Mauritius. So, you know, just thinking out loudly, I say, well, why doesn't South Africa, say, open its doors to, let's call it the global billionaires, or so come and set up your structures in South Africa. We'll give you a special tax disposition of flat rate tax of, let's say, $1 million a year, and you can operate from South Africa. You will then attract quite a lot of people to come and set up in South Africa, perhaps in the Cape, Johannesburg or Durban or whatever, bringing in money, business activity or something, because we need these kinds of thinking. And that's just one thought that crossed my mind, because the economic cake is not growing. They've been slicing and dicing, and they've been collecting taxes almost as efficiently as they possibly can, which is quite a nice success story in itself. They've been finding money in unexpected places. But there's a limit to that. If the economy doesn't grow, you've got to be a bit smarter than that. And I just thought, maybe time to think out of the box, as they say.
It is. It's a laudable sentiment that you've just put forward. But when you look at the countries that you've just named, I mean, let's take three of them: Malta, tiny island in the Mediterranean, Mauritius, where you are at the moment, off the coast of South Africa, Seychelles, northeast from you. They're small countries. So that sort of tax regime and those sort of incentives are immediately impactful if you get a few thousand people saying, yeah, I'd like to do that, and I'd like to have a holiday home there, and all that sort of thing. But South Africa is a completely different story. It's got 60, 65 million people. I don't know how many it is these days. Its infrastructure is crumbling. And would it make that much of a difference to have a few high net worth individuals and companies come in? And would the companies come in because of the crime and the crumbling infrastructure? I'm just putting a devil's advocate story here for you.
Well, you're absolutely correct. I mean, we are a bigger economy than the ones that I've mentioned. But remember, Portugal and Spain are fairly sized economies. And countries, and again, island countries, Singapore, small countries, city states, But they've attracted a lot of people. You know, you also do have, believe it or not, America, the United States, is attracting a lot of capital from all around the world in certain states like Delaware, where they tell people to come and set up businesses.
Mm.
Those are, if you look at it, those are big numbers over a period of time. I just think South Africa is in a very, very tight spot as far as its economic cake is concerned. We've just yesterday or the day before heard that our initial optimism about these massive gas and oil fields in the Southeast Seas probably not going to materialize. So there's another potential source of future taxation that's just gone up in smoke, so to speak. And we don't know exactly what the reasons are. One gets the impression that the story has been spun to death by both Total and the South African government. But people were kind of banking on, there's this oil boom coming our way, oil and gas, there's money coming in. That's not happening. That's not happening. We need to, you know, if you've been around the block for a long time, if you look where governments traditionally got their money, it's the mining industry, it was construction. Now the construction industry is almost collapsed in South Africa. There are very limited new sources of revenue. And as I said in the preamble, taxing the current economic cake more would possibly lead to lower tax revenue down the line, because we've seen in the last 10 to 15 years how easy it is for high net worth individuals to up and leave, pay the exit tax, and they are gone.
Yeah.
Not only them, but also the following generation has also gone, which is like a circular effect, more and more people leaving the country and less taxpayers.
Well, you see, that's the first thing I would say. If you do reform the tax system and you say you call for a departure from traditional approaches and you advocate for dynamic solutions to stimulate economic activity and counteract the country's persistent challenges. So the first thing is to stem the tide of people leaving. The next challenge is to bring people back or bring new people in. It's a long-term job, Magnus.
It's worth considering. You know, they like yourself, I mean, I don't know, but you know, there are lots of South Africans who have left the country and set up businesses, but they will tell you they would love to go back to South Africa for the lifestyle and other reasons if they were not taxed that heavily, or the threat of taxes and or confiscation is just, you know, disappears from the public discourse. They would love to go back and start running their companies from South Africa, their global companies, without BEE requirements and things like that. They have to do that. And they probably will do that. But unless, you know, we make some drastic changes to the current thinking and philosophy of the majority government policy party, the ANC, that won't happen. But that's where one needs to start saying, guys, we've tried this for 30 years. It's obviously not working. We better start looking at something else. And
yes,
maybe just the thought that will stimulate someone in government, maybe someone in the DA will say, hey, guys, that's quite a good idea. Let's look at it.
Mm. Yeah, that is what is so hopeful about the government of national unity, that there is a roundtable discussion between two previously opposed parties that are now in coalition. You mentioned BEE. I can't see any chance of BEE being adjusted. Can you?
You know, at some point it will have to go. You know, it's just not workable. It's pushing a lot of young entrepreneurs, primarily white entrepreneurs, out of the country. They say, I'm not going to give up my 30% of my company like it's happened in the past. We've seen Elon Musk with Starlink. He's refusing to, you know, bend to the will of the ANC. So at some point we must draw a line in the sand and just say, guys, 30 years, you know, let's just walk away from BEE requirements. I tend to agree with you. It's not going to be overnight. It's going to take some time, but miracles do happen, and maybe it's time for miracles, because boy, we need it.
Yeah, really do. And for all the people that call you an anti-South African sort of turncoat or I can't think of another word for it. You can see that you are still passionate about turning the economy around, and maybe you should be a consultant to the government. I don't know, but it's a as you sit in Mauritius, we can only hope that there is some sort of reform. And even if there's just a hint of reform, then people from overseas will say, OK, they've started the process and South Africa will be back on the investment radar, whether it be short-term inflows on the markets or whether it be long-term direct investment, Magnus.
Things can happen. I mean, countries can change. There are examples. I mean, we've seen Argentina. We've had a president came in there and shattered all the previous economic guidelines or guidebooks on how to do things, and it seems to be working. Why can't South Africa follow in that path? Because, you know, as Cuban Naidu, the former deputy governor of the Reserve Bank, said recently, he said 18 months to 2 years ago, we were right at the rock bottom. We were peering into the abyss in terms of public finances and government, you know, expenditure. He said it was very, very close to totally imploding at some point. So, you know, hopefully that was the bottom. Things are starting to get a little bit better day by day, week by week, and maybe some new thinking will reinvigorate the souls. The story that we're living through.
Think naturally, think out the box, yeah. I hope people are listening to this. Magnus, thank you so much for your insight. As always, it was great fun and very insightful. That was It's My Money, brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth.
It's My Money was brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, an award-winning boutique wealth management company.